Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous soul. Chart and compass come from thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. This was our sermon hymn. Beautiful hymn. Speaks of life as a tempestuous sea. I would tend to agree. You must at times go over waves and billows, trials and tribulations, troubles and sufferings. And thankfully, though, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, a pilot, to guide us safely through them all. And in the midst of suffering, I think we would really rather just jump ship a lot of times and not go through it. But God, rather than taking us out of our suffering, often teaches us instead how to endure it. And think of some of the encouraging words that he has for us about this. James says, "Blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Paul says in Timothy, "If we endure, we will also reign with him." Peter says, "Resist the devil, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." What an encouraging God we have. Last week, we talked then about God's great purposes for us in suffering. This week, I'd like to talk with you about finding hope in the midst of it. What do we hold on to in those times of difficulty? Where do we find hope? How does Jesus piloting our boat calm our fears? Well, let's learn about that today, about kindling our hope in God. And this sermon can be used both in your good times as well as in your bad. So let's take a look then. What can we say about this? Well, first of all, hope is very important. A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect that hope had on those who were undergoing hardship. And so they took two sets of laboratory rats, and they were placed into separate tubs of water. The researchers left one set in the water and found that they all drowned within an hour. The other set of rats were put into a separate tub, and they were lifted periodically out of the water and placed back in. And when that happened, the second set of rats were able to swim for over 24 hours because they had the hope that in a few minutes they might be lifted out again. The hope increased their endurance. And this is kind of a cruel experiment, right? Sounds like something you'd see in a third world country. We're going to torture and kill these rats. But it teaches us the value of hope and how it relates to endurance. If you lose hope, you quickly drown. But if hope is alive in you, your endurance escalates astronomically. In fact, it could be said that as long as you have hope alive in your heart, you cannot be defeated. You are the victor in the midst of whatever sufferings are on you until eventually the suffering itself loses endurance and falls away from you. Martin Luther said of suffering that we should be like a great seawall on the coast where the waves come and batter it and batter it and hit it, and it's repulsed back into the, and turns the waves back into the ocean until eventually the storm just wears itself out on the seawall and grows calm again. This is how we ought to be. May God give you such hope today. But it's hard. Where do we find this hope? Well, what's God teach us? I think we can find the answer actually in Matthew chapter 14, how to kindle our hope. Here's the story of where Jesus had dismissed the crowds. He went up on the mountains to pray. You can just see him there on that windy bluff, looking down at his disciples crossing the lake toward evening. And the waves are beating against the boat, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth hour of the watch, he comes to them, walking on the sea. They thought it's a ghost. They cried out in fear, and he said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Let's watch this, though, in verse 28. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Hope comes from God. So long as Jesus had his eyes fixed upon Jesus, he could stand in the midst of a seething and roaring sea. But as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus and placed it upon his circumstances, the waves, he began to sink like a rat. And the same thing is going to happen with you. I can guarantee it. If you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus in whatever your midst of your suffering it is, you will be able to stand. Because when you look at him, hope is kindled in you. And where you have hope, you have infinite endurance. But when you take your eyes off, you quickly sink. You will sink like a rat. Well, our temptation in suffering is to do that very thing, though, isn't it? To do what Peter did, to look at the waves, to really keep our eyes fixed on our pain, our suffering, our troubles, our circumstances, rather than on Jesus. But God bids us look to him. And he actually teaches us how to do that. And this can be used for you in good times and in bad. How can we kindle our hope? Where does God have us look? Well, he points us to a few places to look for hope, to see Jesus. First one, he says, is when you're in the midst of suffering, look to your past. Look behind you. Look there to find Jesus and to find your hope in his faithfulness to you. This is the practice of Peter, actually. In Psalm 143, Peter says, "For the enemy has pursued me. He has crushed my life to the ground. He makes me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore my soul faints within me. My heart within me is appalled." You ever felt like that? Amen? Y'all had some troubles, right? Next line, he says, "But I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I muse on what your hands have wrought. I stretch out my hands to thee." In verse 12, "In thy steadfast love you will cut off my enemies. Destroy all my adversaries, for I am thy servant." So he looks to the past and see God has been faithful to me then, and he draws that into the present to find hope for the present moment. He does this also in Psalm 63. "My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." Notice that. You have been, therefore I will. You have been my help, therefore I will sing for joy. Can you look at that and your life circumstances? You're suffering, you say, "But you have been my help in the past, therefore I will sing for joy." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He has saved you back then, he's going to save you today. So God says, look to your past. See me there, see my faithfulness, and draw that into the present. Can you do this? Our temptation is to forget. And ain't that the truth? Israel did this, and Psalm 106, it says, "They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea." Verse 24, "Then they despised the pleasant land and had no faith in a saving promise." You get a problem today, or if you do have a problem sometime, you're suffering. If you forget God, notice, they forgot, then they despised and lost faith because they forgot. But David says, "You have been my help, therefore I will sing for joy." We remember God's faithfulness to us in days past. And so I have an assignment for you this week. Take a sheet of paper like this And this is good in good times or in bad. Write down on it, looking backwards in your life, all the times God has graciously saved your neck, saved your skin, even in the thousand times that you don't even remember or know because it was hidden from you. But write them down so that you not forget, but you remember and recall. Look, he's been faithful to me hundreds of times, nay, thousands of times. Will he not be faithful in this present situation too? Isn't this how David fought Goliath? Says, let no man's heart fail because of him, O king. Said, I'll go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you can't fight this Philistine. He's been a warrior from his youth, and you are but a youth. And David said, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me, notice that, in the past, he'd been his help. The Lord who delivered me from the hand of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Can you do that? Look at the past and draw it into the present. You got a Goliath you're facing today or that you may face sometime in the future. You can remember this. Hey, I've had a lion in my past. I've had a bear in my past. I had paws. I had teeth. And the Lord delivered me there. And this one will be like one of them. So God says, look into the past, my faithfulness. See Jesus there and draw strength from it. Seek the Lord. Remember the wondrous works that he's done, his miracles, and the judgment he uttered. Because guess what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday as he is today, as he is forever. So look to your past on that sheet. But also God says, you can find my faithfulness there. Also look to the future. Look ahead of you. I read earlier this week the story of a self-made millionaire named Eugene Land. And he went to Harlem to speak to a bunch of poor street kids in school to try to help them not drop out of school. But then he wondered, why would they listen to me, a white rich man, and these kids are African-American, Puerto Rican, from the streets? So he threw away his speech, he threw away his notes, he scrapped those, and he said, I'll just speak to him from the heart. He just started talking, and he says, stay in school. Stay in school, and I will pay the tuition for your college. Well, that day it changed for these kids. For the first time in their lives, they had hope for the future. One kid said, I had something to look forward to, something waiting for me. It was a golden feeling. And 90% of that class graduated, where most drop out. They endured in the present suffering or enduring of their school and circumstances because they saw a reward in the future, and therefore they had hope. Isn't this what God says to us through James? Blessed is the man who endures trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Do you do this? Do you look forward and look at God's rewards? Or have you forgotten those too? You forgot your past already. Are you forgetting your future? Well, there was a Little League game, a Little League baseball game. A man came up to a boy in the dugout and said, hey, what's the score, boy? And he said, it's 18-0. We're behind. He said, boy, son, I bet you're pretty discouraged. Boy shrugged his shoulders and said, why should I be discouraged? We haven't even gotten up the bat yet. Friends, the saints haven't even gotten up the bat yet. I mean, we have rewards now in this life, but our reward, our inheritance is coming. We got to keep that before us and have it crystal clear in our sufferings. Peter says, blessed is be the Father and God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance. Say that word. Inheritance. And to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Then he talks about sufferings. He says, In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, as is necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Have you forgotten what is before you? God says, we're waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. He tells us that through Peter. Can you see mountains in your future and seas and forests and glades and creatures and fresh air and freedom and righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of our Father? Can you see new bodies? Can you see them glorified and empowered and honored? It's because of these things that Paul was able to say in Romans 8, I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not even worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and will obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. Isn't that beautiful? And guess what? God has determined it in his heart and fixed it in his mind that you're going to get there. He will bring you. He keeps you. He's going to bring you to that inheritance. You will see it. There is a day coming when you will see all those things if we endure. Therefore, it says, if we endure, we will also reign with him in a city of gold, and no more tears or sorrow or suffering or death anymore. So, are your shoulders drooping today? Are they going downward? Are you inclining toward this position? Well, one thing that helps is to lift up your chin physically and look up. That helps spiritually to look up. So take out your sheet again this week. Recount all God's faithfulness in the past. See Jesus there. Recount his faithfulness and see Jesus in the future. He's like a father waiting for you at the end of the finish line. And the son, seeing that, runs the race with endurance. He loves you. And thirdly, not only look to the past and to the future, but God says, see me in the present. Fix your eyes on Jesus and not on the waters. I was in Maine sailing on windjammers in the old days, and boy, anybody lived in Maine, surrounded and enveloped by the fog up there, wrapped up in it, you can't see anything up there. I mean, to the front, behind, to the right, to the left, you can't see anything. But I noticed one day while we're sailing out there in the fog, not seeing anything, I look up and I can see all the way to the top of the sky. I can see the moon, which is, by the way, 238,857 miles. I can see 238,857 miles if I look upward. But this way I can't see anything. In your struggles, you look up to see God. Lift up your heads and just see him. For he has this promise, I am with you. You know how often God promises that in the Bible? I am with you. He says that to Isaac, Genesis 26. Fear not, I am with you. To Jacob in Genesis 28. Behold, I am with you. I'll keep you wherever you go. I'll not leave you until I've done all that I've promised you. Moses in Exodus 3. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of God out of Israel out of Egypt? God answered him, but I will be with you. Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll not leave you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and courageous. To Israel, he said, fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous hand. And to us, he gives this promise. This is the one to us. Matthew 28, behold, I'm with you always, even to the close of the age. Can you look up and see that in the midst of your swirling, I want to get out of this situation? God says, I'm going to teach you how to endure it. Look up and see me there. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And also look to my sufferings. See how greatly I love you. Remember my cross, the bitterness, the wormwood, the gall, the scourging, the blood, which secured your salvation and redeemed you. For it's written, for Christ also suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. His blood secured your salvation. His blood secured your hope. His blood secured your assurance of his faithfulness to you in the past, in the present, and in the future. So what should we say in conclusion? What's the use to having hope unless you got a hopeless situation? If you got a hopeful situation, what is hope but platitude and flattery, says G.K. Chesterton. It's only when you get a hopeless situation that hope has any strength. Well, God is working hope in you in the midst of a hopeless situation. And as Claire Booth Luce said, there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. God tells you where to look for hope to his son, Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you all with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of his Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.